everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Lesbian Mommies Radio. I'm your host, Elizabeth Kleva. Thank you for tuning in on this beautiful October evening. Tonight, we are talking to a lesbian couple that lives in the South, specifically Nashville, Tennessee. And they did an amazing job of creating a community of two mom families for themselves and their daughter. And I found this really awesome, given that they live in the South, which is a part of our country that's not known to be the most supportive of LGBT rights. So we're definitely going to hear about what it's like to be gay in the South and then how they went ahead and created this wonderful community for themselves. We're going to get into that in just a moment. Just one announcement. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and in 2 weeks I have a medical anthropologist on. His name is Sid Singer, and he's going to be sharing about some research he and his wife did about how bra wearing can impact your breast health. I actually heard Sid on another show and found what he had to share just super fascinating. So I reached out to him to see if he'd be willing to be on this show, and he said yes. So I'm super excited to share that, given we're all women, we all have breasts. And any information I think is useful in how we can prevent any sort of breast disease. So definitely tune in for that one. All right, let me get to the show. Let me introduce Courtney and Mandy. Courtney and Mandy were introduced in December 2008, but didn't start dating until May of 2009. They knew right away they wanted kids. Mandy is the youngest of six, and Courtney wanted as many kids as Mandy would allow. In fact, Courtney made it very clear within the first few dates that she was going to have kids, and if Mandy was not on board, then they did not need to go on. Luckily for Mandy, she was all for kids. In January 2011, they were ready to start a family. They were successful really quickly, but unfortunately found out that it was not to be when they went in for their first ultrasound to see the heartbeat. After the miscarriage, they took some time off and headed to New York City in January of 2012 to get married. After that, they tried again and had success yet again. Baby Scarlett was born in February of 2013. They recently moved from the trendy, hip, urban area of East Nashville to try giving it a go in suburbia as of February of 2015. They enjoy camping, hiking, cooking, craft beer, and spending time with friends. They are now in the process of trying for baby number two, Courtney and Mandy. Welcome to Lesbian Mommies Radio.
Hey, thanks
for having us. Yeah, thanks for being on. So, as I said in the intro, I want to hear a little bit more. I want you guys to share a little bit more about what it's like being gay in the South and how that's been for you as a couple. And I can tell by your accents, you probably grew up there, yeah? So you've been in the South your whole life.
Yes. I actually was born in Memphis, but moved around a lot in my childhood with my dad's job. But I usually just kind of say I'm from Memphis because where I spent my last 2 years of high school. And I actually never really faced a lot of discrimination. I even went to prom with my girlfriend. And
nice! Wow!
Yes, in Memphis, Tennessee. We didn't really advertise that we were girlfriends, but we didn't hide it either. And So, you know, when I came out to my family when I was 19, wow. And my mom's biggest thing was, would you still have kids? Like, how will you have kids? You know, and so she knew that that was a part of my heart and really just who I am. So I've been really fortunate growing up in the South that I really didn't face any. But Mandy grew up a little bit. You know, a lot more different than I did, so.
Well, as Courtney likes to remind me all the time, I'm 7 years older than her. So, so things are a little bit different for me. I was definitely not going to prom with another girl. So many people make fun of me for this, but I'm telling the God's honest truth. When I first figured out that I was, you know, gay or could be gay or whatever it was that made me so much different than everybody else, I literally thought that I would have to, you know, graduate high school, go to college, and then move off to either California or New York to find another gay person. And I'm not even kidding you. Like, wow. I really, all I knew of like was like one girl that was rumored on a softball team that might be, and nobody
of
talked to her.
You
know, you don't talk
team.
To her, right? Of course, I was also on the softball team. So so it was a little bit different for me in that regard. So, you know, I wasn't as out as Courtney was in the beginning, but in Jonesboro, Arkansas, which is where I was born and raised, like population 60,000, I definitely didn't hide it. But, you know, there wasn't necessarily walking around holding hands or anything like you would see in other cities or like you would see mm-hmm. more so nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, like, for us, like, now, discrimination in the South, like, I've been pretty fortunate to work for companies. So, like, worked for UPS for, like, 5 years, been with Dell for 10 years. And they've all been really supportive of, like, you know, same-sex couples and what was domestic partner benefits before the Supreme Court ruling. Yeah, so I've been really, really, you know, fortunate, like, that Courtney was on my insurance when it came to, you know, trying to start a family. So my day-to-day, you know, at work, it's not really something that's tolerated. So I haven't really had to face that like a lot of other people have, unfortunately. But, mm-hmm. yeah, as far as, like, my family, also really super supportive and awesome. So, haven't had to run into a ton of discrimination that's like been like blatantly in my face, but you definitely see the remarks, you know, on social media and such that, you know, it's here. It just may not be necessarily like in my face on a day-to-day basis. So,
I mean, we do
great.
Get crazy questions from people though.
So
that's
right.
For sure. But I'm not sure if that's just because they live in the South. I think it could happen everywhere, but people will ask us some pretty silly, silly things, and you're just like, oh, my word.
Like what?
Because, well, I'll let Mandy share what her realtor said to her one time.
I wasn't going to say who, what, this was, okay, not a recent realtor, this was years ago. She just
was
like,
years ago, but
was
still.
Like straight up, seriously looked me in the eye, was like, okay, so like, would you just, like, go out to a bar and maybe, like, have some drinks and meet a guy and then, like, take him home? And I'm like, if you, like, would the lesbian go to the bar and there be enough alcohol to get me to decide to, like, take home stranger danger to make a family with? And I was like, if you and your husband couldn't get pregnant, is that the route you would take? And she was like, well, no. And I'm like, well, me neither. Like, that's not how we do things. Like, that's not, think about it. So that's just one of the many questions.
That's one of many, many, like, you know, since I don't, quote, look gay, you know, which is so silly, but a lot of people ask me, like, what my husband does and things like that. I get that a lot.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's just kind of something that we deal with.
That's normal.
Yeah.
What's
normal.
Your husband do? Well, she sells software.
Nice. Well, thanks for sharing that. We were talking before the show about a new L word. It's like a documentary about it's L word Mississippi, I think. And and just the experience of these women in Mississippi in particular. And you guys are in Nashville and you've been, I mean, is Mississippi so much different than other states in the South? Why do you think their experience in that documentary is so intense?
I do not know, honestly. Like, that is, I mean, it's one of those things that it really, like, kind of shocks me that it's that extreme still, you know. And I don't know if it's just a matter of, kind of like I mentioned to you earlier, it's a matter of they just don't know that they could have it even slightly better somewhere else, much less leaps and bounds better. But, yeah, it just seems like I hear a lot of really, I mean, I don't like to say this because, you know, I hate when people say, oh, you're from Arkansas, so you must be like, you know, shoeless. No, I'm not. But but the thing is, like, a lot of people in Mississippi, I think they just, some of the things just haven't caught up. You know, they're just kind of, people say behind times in a way, in a sense. But, I mean, I don't like to think of it that way. I just don't think there's been as much exposure to, you know,
totally.
These people are just normal people, right? All they were trying to do is live their lives, and what they do in their bedroom is really not your business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it has to do a lot. Also, you know, the South is known as the Bible Belt, and, you know, in Nashville, there really, truly is a church on every corner. And I know I've lived in Georgia as well. I have family that live in Georgia currently. There really is a church on every corner. And so there still is a lot of people who, you know, are so rooted in religion, not a relationship, you know, with God, but religion, that their religion doesn't allow them to accept their family or that family member or whatever it is that causes that tension. And me and Mandy are so, so blessed because my 83-year-old grandmother, who was born and raised in Memphis and lived in Pulaski, Tennessee, which is a really small town in Tennessee as well, she actually gets Mommy and Mama, you know, she gets our name correct more than most people in our family. Like, we are so lucky. I mean, yeah. My mom and Mandy's mom would literally just fight each other because they just love Scarlett, you know, and we know how lucky we are to have that, because I think a lot of people in the South, their families don't support them, and so that makes them more timid to go out in the world because your immediate family doesn't support you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember I told, when I came out to my family, like, my mom sort of figured it out and then, yeah, told all my siblings before I could, you know, thanks for that. But whenever I came out, I was like, you know, as long as you guys accept me, like, if you all love me, then, and I love myself, I'm really not concerned about the rest of the world. And I was like 18. And my sister still brings that up. And I think that was like a huge, you know, I don't know, a catalyst in me being okay with myself and not being, you know, living in the closet for years and years and years. Because once I figured out they were still going to be my family, you know, it wasn't so scary anymore.
That's a great
point. So I think
those
people, you know, in Mississippi, maybe they're not currently getting that support and love from their family, at least not from what we were seeing, you know, on that documentary. So I think that definitely makes it hard. If, like, your own flesh and blood, you know, and Ken can't love you for who you are, how do you expect the rest of the world to?
Yep. Good point. Speaking of flesh and blood, let's talk about your conception journey. So talk about that process. How do you decide first of all, maybe only one of you is going to have babies. Curious if you both want to have them. And then just talk a little bit about the process and how it went.
Yeah. Paper, rock, scissors. No. Courtney is always wanting kids. I mean, like I said, she would pull a big yellow school bus in front of the house full of kids if she could. Like, that's been the thing. And it's just always been kind of decided that if I took care of her, she'd take care of the kids. And that's kind of just been our roles from day one. So there was really not much questioning on that at all. We knew she would take care of carrying the kids right out the gate.
We did toss up for a second about me maybe carrying, but I think it was like a second, and then it was like right back to me. So.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I was like, I only want to see what it would look like and maybe feel it kick. And that was not enough to take it away from Courtney, who, like, wants to be like, have morning sickness. Like, she wants it all. And I'm like, I'll just go to work while you deal with all that. Okay, I can't do it.
I love it. Nice job, Courtney.
Yeah, she won out on that one. For sure.
Yeah, when you're enjoying the morning sickness, that's like real true love of pregnancy.
Well, and I think, like, as Media was going to kind of share, like, you know, when we started our journey and it didn't happen the first time, you panic. Like, you're like, oh my goodness, like, what's wrong with me? And, you know, we know so many people who've had a really hard time with fertility. And so it's been one of those things where I'm thankful that for morning sickness, I'm thankful for all of those things that happen, because, well, me and Mady, we don't take those things for granted. And I think that's one thing with being a lesbian couple is you embrace all things of pregnancy because you're so thankful that it's happening to you.
Totally.
You know?
Yep. Seriously.
So Mandy was going to talk about a little bit about our fertility, I guess.
Oh, well, either one of us can, but yeah, I guess you're going to ask, like, how was the process on it? But so I guess for the first thing we really did was, honestly, we tried to just figure out, you know, who was going to do this for us, because we really didn't know. Like, you know,
right.
You know, do you have to go to a fertility clinic? Do you go to, you know, your OBGYN? Do you order a kit online? You know, I mean, like, whatever, like, what are you going to do? So we literally just started with asking in our community, asking people that had kids, you know, like, what did y'all do? Who did you use? You know, this, that, and the other. And I always joked that we found Sally, who is our, what we call her, the underground lesbian baby doctor. And it's because she literally, like, was doing IUIs since, like, the early 90s. And so not just for, like, lesbians, but single women, because there was a time when doctors didn't really want to inseminate single women here in Tennessee. And so people went to Sally, and, like, she literally, you know, left one doctor because he didn't like her doing it and started working for another. So we knew, like, from talking to her, like, she was going to be our girl. You know what I mean? She had no qualms about us being, you know, a two-mom family, or wanting to be a two-mom family, I should say. You know, at first, like she's in the same building as this other clinic. I won't even go into which one, but, like, this other clinic here in Nashville. And we started, you know, trying to poke around with them to see what they would think and how we would get started there. And this was all before we had the Facebook page, so we were literally just, like, throwing darts, right? So we go on their website, and we're going through you to fill out the online questionnaire. And we got pretty frustrated because the paperwork you had to submit was definitely swayed only towards heterosexuals that were married. I won't go into the details, but let's just say some of the questions it was asking was definitely not happening in our bedroom. So I was like, there wasn't even an NA option. And I'm like, I can't even answer your paperwork to submit it. So then, you know, it's kind of already a personal process, and you're already a little nervous, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to call and be like, well, I can't really fill out your paperwork because it's asking me X, Y, and Z, and, well, we don't even do that. And, you know, like, all this stuff. And it was just, you know, super frustrating. And Courtney ended up calling them. You'll find out Courtney's the spitfire in our relationship. She's a little bit mighty. So she definitely called them and was like, after we decided not to use them, I was like, you know, your paperwork's offensive. It's offensive to single women. It's offensive to lesbians. Like, it's offensive to this, that, and the other. I mean, I'm happy to say now, literally, you know, it's what, like, 3 years later, you go back and look in their paperwork, finally at least has an NA option. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not the way it used to be. Yeah, we, like, went back and looked. We're like, hooray for them. They're with it now. So, so once we kind of found our doctor, we started, you know, looking at different sperm banks, and we decided to go with the California Cryobank just because of the information we'd read on, you know, online about them. They'd been around for a long time. We knew the people that used them, kind of like word of mouth, you know. And then once we had our doctor and we figured out our donor, it was time to, you know, really get, you know, starting tracking Courtney's, you know, cycle. She knew it going on Clomid to make her, you know, cycle more regular. And then, you know,
which,
like,
makes
you mentioned
you
in the intro. Yeah, which makes you bananas, or her bananas. But, yeah. So after that, we finally did, you know, after a few cycles of, you know, getting pregnant and had Scarlett, which has just been, like, the most amazing blessing we could ever have. Like, she's just our pride and joy. Wouldn't change it for a bit. You know, a lot of people are like, why did you guys use CCB versus maybe, you know, like, a known donor? And just for us, like, we had a lot of friends that loved us, and we talked to some people seriously about having a known donor. But just for our family, it didn't really work. Everybody that we loved, that we would consider, once it got kind of getting, you know, down to the wire to get serious about it, their emotions became, you know, very much involved to a point that it was way more than being, you know, the donor. They wanted to be much more involved, and we just weren't prepared for that for our family. So,
yeah.
So were your families supportive right away of you trying to create that family?
They are so funny. Both of our moms were a little hesitant, but not because we're gay. They were just like, are y'all sure you're ready to have kids? Like, it was the funniest reaction. And we were like, you know, we don't accidentally have children, so yes, we are very ready to have kids, you know. So we just thought it was so funny that they were hesitant, like, are y'all ready? And they soon found out that we were very ready. And, you know, it was something that we really wanted, and that we were blessed enough to become pregnant. And, and this go around, so we've you know, we've been trying here recently, like you said in the intro, and we just did our third IUI. And so, you know, everyone should stay tuned on Instagram because I don't know. So, but yeah, so we're just thankful that we have a nurse practitioner like Sally who believes in our families, believes in two mom families. And she really is the person here in Nashville that she does a lot of inseminations. I mean, there is obviously other doctors out there that are friends who have done IVF and things like that, that are welcoming. But, you know, as far as IUI goes, a lot of people go to Sally. And so we're really thankful for her.
That's awesome.
They've been taking them on vacation. We took them on vacation together and got them out in the pool, gave them a couple of drinks. And we're like, by the way, we're going to be trying to have a baby when we get back home.
She's talking about our moms. Like,
yes.
Oh, your mom.
Sorry.
Yes.
She's talking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was like, not Sally. No.
No, we didn't take her out for drinks and tell her that's not how we do with our daughters, no. But they were super pumped, our parents.
Good. So then Scarlett came, and you were a two-mom family in Nashville. And how was that? So right away, I mean, did you already have some friends that had kids? I guess you mentioned that you were asking them where they were going to inseminate. So I'm assuming you had some friends.
So we knew one couple that actually had – they ended up doing IVF because they had lived in New York and then moved to Nashville. And so we knew them, and they were the ones who kind of told us, you're going to do what's called IUI to have a baby. And we were like, oh, okay, because we didn't even know what an IUI was. I mean, we really didn't know anything. And so we were really thankful for them. And then just through some other friends, we met Missy and Leslie, who are actually the ones who helped us start the Facebook page. So, you know, it was a really small group of people, but it's bloomed into so much more now. But, you know, as far as that goes, we really at the time didn't know that many people really until we met Missy and Leslie. So,
I was like, they were trying, we were trying, Shayla and Lindsay and them were trying, and it was like, you know, a race to who could get pregnant is what it felt like.
Not really.
You know what I mean? No, not literally. Yeah. I just mean, like, we were always like, are you pregnant yet? Are you pregnant yet? Like, you know, the game of telephone. So it was awesome because we were all had our own different little paths we were trying, you know, so we were able to kind of swap stories at that point with each other on what was working or what we'd ran into.
Mm-hmm. So talk about that part of, you mentioned the Facebook page, but talk about this whole process of creating Two Mom Family. So what prompted the Facebook page and how did you structure it and how did you reach out to people, about that?
So it really happened. I just mentioned Missy and Leslie, but we're kind of the gathering house, like a lot of our friends. We love to have people over and cook for them and hang out and stuff. So me and Missy were pregnant and we're all hanging out at the house and we're all talking about how everyone is either pregnant, trying to get pregnant, or wants to get pregnant. And so we're all just gabbing about how funny it is. And Missy goes, oh my goodness, it's like a baby boom. And Mandy said, we should make a page, a Facebook group that we all could talk to each other on, you know, and Baby Boom Moms Nashville came to light. I mean, that was really, it happened in our living room just after dinner one night, and we're all just talking, and we had known a few couples here and there, but we didn't have one place to talk because a lot of us only had heard of each other but didn't know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Facebook page started, and, you know, we wanted it to be a page that's not just for lesbian couples. It could be for a single lesbian mom or, you know, people that are trying to conceive. And there is another Facebook page in Nashville, but it is for, you know, all GLBT families. And we wanted ours to be specific to two moms because it is just a little bit different with our families. And it's a place that we can share our pediatricians, photographers, lawyers, which is a huge thing, you know, babysitters. I mean, you name it, you know, what, you know, some people have a good experience here. Some people had a bad experience there at this fertility clinic or that fertility clinic, you know, and it's really just a sounding board for any lesbian that is wanting to, you know, have a baby or already has a baby. And then it kind of bloomed into, you know, play dates and meeting up and, you know, just doing life together, really. And we can honestly say that some of the people in that group have become our family. I mean, they are, we call them our chosen family. And all of our kids are going to grow up, yes, in the South. So they are going to go to public school. And we don't know what that's like yet because obviously Scarlett's only 2.5. But I know there's going to be things that come up in the next few years as Scarlett goes to school and as their children go to school. And so I know that I can always go to that page or call or text someone from there and say, hey, this is what we're going through. Can you give me some advice? You know, and so I know those days are ahead of us. But for now, we get the opportunity to have really fun play dates and meetups, and our kids get to see each other and everyone that has two moms. That's really cool.
That is really cool.
One thing that I think is neat about it as well is just that, and it's like, you know, it's a little bit different to me than a lot of Facebook pages I see in general, just because, like, you know, a lot of times if someone asks a question and it's geared to one someone's, like, profession, it'll be like, well, send me a private message and we'll, you know, we'll talk about it. But, like, our lawyer, Erica Johnson, that's on there, like, if someone asks a question around, you know, adopting, doing a second parent adoption or whatever, she, you know, it's not like, well, let's just talk business on the side. It's always like she's offering up free advice to people because it's, you know, it's just like all about caring and compassion more about than about like the bottom line, you know? So it really is like a little community, you know, and it's, I'm just so excited to see that it's grown into so much more than just a few people. And it's been really positive though so far.
Now, did it spread through word of mouth? People just find it? Or how are people joining?
Well, you know, when Missy, because Missy made the page, it was like one day, like, oh my gosh, I just got an invite from Missy to, you know, be an admin or whatever on Baby Boom Moms. And I was like, okay, she spun it up. And it's like, we have to accept people because it's private, you know, but everybody just would invite people. We're like, hey, invite people that are other families that, you know, other, you know, two-mom families or other people that are trying to conceive or whatever, or single lesbian moms or what have you. And all of a sudden it was like they started getting invited and, you know, people started joining the group left and right. And we were like, holy smokes, like who knew that? I mean, like we went to different churches and seen lots of like, you know, two-mom families that we didn't know. So, you know, you're not, you know, gullible to think like you're the only ones. But we were like, my goodness, there's a lot more than we thought there were. You know,
yeah,
so. We had no idea there were so many. I mean, at our last meetup that we had, one of the other moms kind of coordinated it. And then they maybe, you know, said, like, I'm, you know, Chatty Cathy. So, like, I'm the one that kind of goes around and talks to everybody. But there's really not a leader of our group. Like, it really is a community. And, like, you know, sometimes someone else hosts a play date or I posted on there the other day, hey, we're going to the zoo at 9 a.m. on Friday. Like, if you want to meet up, we'll meet in the front entrance. You know, like, it's really just kind of open to if you want to be really present on the page, you can be. Or if you don't want to be, you can just read the comments, you know. And at our last gathering, I know a couple of the people, they drove about 50 minutes to get there. You know,
wow.
So it's really awesome to meet these moms, people that I just didn't even know. But, you know, they live in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, or they live in Nolensville, Tennessee, which are all little suburbs of Nashville. But they're smaller communities outside of Nashville. So when you don't live in the city, it's really nice to say, hey, we can take our kids to this play date, or we can take our kids to this gathering. And we know that they're going to mm-hmm. see all of these people here have two moms or are a lesbian mom, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's so great. And I can just see how, I mean, what I love is that it was so simple, right? You made a Facebook page.
Yeah.
You just started sharing it, inviting yeah. people, and all of a sudden it just grew into this whole thing. And now, yeah, I mean, this community has just grown and developed. And I love how you share information on fertility clinics or doctors or teachers or whatever, and mm-hmm. just support each other. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's just really important. I mean, you know, one thing as far as, like, you know, with our kids go, you know, just recently I was trying to find a Mother's Day Out program for Scarlett to go to 2 days a week, and, you know, talking to friends and everything, and just trying to figure out where she could go. And a lot of the Mother's Day Out programs here in the South are all in churches. And so making those phone calls, saying right away to the director, hey, we are a two-mom family, and what do you think about this? And, you know, two of the phone calls, the directors said, oh, I'm going to have to talk to the elders of the church. And I was like, red flag, right? I would not want Scarlett to go there. If you have to go ask if it's okay, then it's not okay. Like, I'm not going to send Scarlett there. You know, and then I find the place where I call, and the lady, you know, the director is like, we would love to have you. We might have different beliefs at the end of the day, but this is about, you know, just a learning environment for your child, and we would love to have her, you know. And so, and it's been a perfect fit. And so it's something I can share on that page. So you don't have to call around anymore. Like, I went ahead and did that. So you can go to that place, you know. So it's really nice to say, to be able to share information like that with each other, that, you know, if your child's older than someone else, they've already gone through that, you know, and vice versa.
Yeah, that really just seems invaluable. I'm like, here, my wheels are spinning about starting one in San Diego. Maybe there is one. I'll have to look. But, no, I love that. Just to be sharing information. That's just so great. So one of the questions I have for you is just giving tips for some listeners that are interested in creating more of a community around them. Some of them, you know, I've definitely heard from listeners that they're from small towns and they don't really feel like there's any gay community where they live. Definitely give some tips for them. And what I'm wondering too specifically is, when you have these meetups, do you have someone that's going around and introducing, you know, making sure everybody's interacting with each other? What I would be curious about is how do you facilitate, you know, people really getting to know each other?
Yeah, that person is Courtney.
Yeah,
but she does.
It's either
does
me
a,
or
a
Missy.
Good job.
Yeah, usually. Yeah,
you can you can see them. So you can see her at our house anytime. Like, she's hosted, because like I said, like she mentioned, they've done the splash pad meetups and the, you know, pool parties, and then coming to our house for play dates. And like, Courtney's always like around mingling and making sure people have met and introduced each other and. Introduced to each other, and her and Missy both are always like the little social butterflies, like dragging people around. Like, have you guys met? Your kids are about the same age, you know?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And we're learning. I mean, this page, you know, like I said, like, for a while, it was really just, you know, people getting on there. And then here in the last few months, there's been a lot more activity on it, you know? And so it's one of those things that we're still learning, and we're still trying to build. And we're, you know, like here recently, we talked about doing another big meetup for the kids to all go to, like, a bounce house place, you know, and what date is good for all the moms, you know, on that day. And, like, we were going to put that on the page pretty soon. So it's like, you know, we're still learning on what works for all these families. And, you know, you don't want to do too many meetups or not enough, you know, so, and like I said, there's no, like, administrator on the page, so anyone's welcome to say, do y'all want to come hang out at our house? You know, it's for everybody on there.
Now, have you ever had anybody be a troublemaker on the page at all?
No.
Somebody that shouldn't have been there?
Just been,
Okay, good.
Yeah. I think we, we tried a few people from, like, out of state try to join it, and we're like, no, you know, you live in Georgia, from what I can tell on your Facebook page. Like, if you're moving here, that's one thing, but, you know, I don't know. But we've had just people like that that have tried to join it, but no, not really. And that's what's so great is our page is really for moms and for lesbians to build each other up and to encourage each other and to say, you're not alone in your conception journey and, you know, or your adoption journey or foster care or whatever your path is to, you know, for motherhood. And, you know, some friends of ours right now, they're actually going to be going to California pretty soon to try a doctor there, you know, and so it's not, you know, some of our friends got pregnant the first time. And so, you know, it's like, it's really for everybody to share and to build each other up.
Absolutely. Any specific tips on setting up the page? So like, like you were just saying about it's a page for, if you're in the conception journey, if you're a single lesbian, if you're two moms, is there like a little, and I was just thinking I should go look at your page, but is there a little like header that talks about all that? Or how does it work?
Yeah, and I think, you know, for anyone who's going to make a page, like make sure it's very specific. I mean, like ours is called Gaby Boom Moms. I mean, that's very, if you're looking for gay moms, like that we're it, you know. You know, so you want to make sure that your page says what you are, you know. I think a lot of it has been word of mouth or from people on the Facebook page going and inviting someone else, you know, and vice versa. So it's like that's how we've really built that page. And I think, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's kind of like what, when, and I'm not sure if this is specifically if you're asking just about the page period, but you know, Courtney said, like, it's a lot of people inviting other people to the page. I mean, it starts out before the page with just finding like-minded people like yourself, whether it be like one other couple that you know, whether you met them at a church or if you met them, you know, wherever, right? That you invite them to come have that community with you, right? And then, you know, encourage them, like, hey, this went well. Let's go ahead and do this again. Like, do you have anybody else that you know that's either, you know, trying to conceive or has kids or what have you? And you would be amazed at how many people knows, like, one or two other people, and you just start inviting them to meet up. And before you know it, it's like, okay, now we've got a page. You know, we have six people on a page, but it just snowballs into more people.
And, two, I think people need to be intentional. A lot of times people will say, oh, we should do a play date. Well, follow that up with, does next Wednesday at 10:30 work? Like, don't just say we should do that. Like, take your phone out and do it right then. Take your phone out and don't be shy about it, right? Like, take your phone out and say, hey, do you mind if I get your number? And that way, you know, because you're not looking for a best friend, right? Like, a lot of us have those, or you might be, but you're mainly looking for like-minded people to surround your kids with, you know? And so even if your kid's 5 and their kid's 1, still say we should meet up because you can still talk to that mom in that time. Little kids love to hang out with big kids and vice versa, you know. So I think don't let age difference let you shy away from trying to build a relationship, you know, of like-minded people. And, you know, be intentional is the biggest thing I can say to people is set a date. Don't just say we should.
That's a great tip for a lot of different situations, actually.
Yeah.
So I had a listener write in Facebook, and she had a question. So I want you guys to answer this on the air. So she said that her and her wife recently moved to a very rural community in the upper Midwest due to her wife's new job. And then I'm going to quote her. She says, I'm biracial, our marriage is binational, and we were the only people of color in our community. We moved to the small town, and my wife feels afraid to be social in our community due to fears of discrimination. How can we combat this fear? We aren't in the closet. The whole county, seriously, knows we're here. I feel conflicted because we will raise our children here, and maybe if we just live our lives like everyone else, we can be accepted. Is that naive? We strive to be brave in the face of adversity and adapt to our surroundings. Any advice?
It's a good question.
Yeah. It is.
First of all, I'll say kudos to them, right, for being like, we're not ashamed of who we are. Because I feel like that's huge. Like with Scarlett, like, I do not care. Like, there is not going to be one person that's going to come up to me and say, you know, what's your daddy doing? I'm not going to correct them. So yep. I think, you know, kudos to them to, like, for not being ashamed of who they are. I don't think they're naive at all. I think that's, like, the key is to go ahead and, you know, live your life like you're just as good as everybody else because you are, you know, and you shouldn't have to apologize for who you are.
Yeah. I think, being connected to social media, you know, Instagram has an incredible following of two mom families. And I've seen it happen before where these two moms meet on Instagram and realize they're like an hour from each other or whatever it is, you know. So if you're not on social media, get on social media because that can really be helpful sometimes to find people in your community that are like-minded. You know, I mean, I don't know. I just think as far as that family goes, I would live out loud and I would, you know, meet somebody that you feel like you're talking to them at the park and they could be like-minded. And like I said, you know, go with intention and say, hey, can we hang out? You know, and even though they might not be their best friend, they might be a family. Sorry, we have a big storm.
Yeah, it's thunder here.
But yeah, so, you know, just having an intention and inviting those people to hang out.
One thing I'd say to kind of, you know, on top of that is, Courtney said you might find somebody at the park that they're talking to, right? Well, they may not be a two-mom family. Like me and Courtney, like we have a ton of really amazing, you know, heterosexual families that we hang out with. And, you know, that might be something that family is a jumping off point, right? Like they just need to find community, period, that they feel safe with them, no matter what kind of, you know, family they are. And you never know, they may say, you know, hey, well, you know, Sally and Joe or whoever, you know, that we know, let me introduce you to them. But I think the first thing is just continue to do what they're doing and not be ashamed of who they are. And, you know, continue to just make friends within the community. It's kind of funny when, you know, the Supreme Court ruling passed and everybody was like making their pictures rainbow colored, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of on Courtney's social media stance. You know, we moved to Mount Juliet, which is a very small community. And I'm like scrolling through the Mount Juliet community page, like, who's got a rainbow picture? Who's got a rainbow picture? Maybe friend them, right? I mean, and I did.
Right.
And there are some pretty nice people that just from noticing that maybe they're not two mom families, but maybe they're straight allies, but they're also really awesome people to know here in the community. So Courtney's spot on talking about on the social media stance there, but, you know, good luck to those folks in that town.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And just I want them to know, like, you're not alone. Even if it's through you know, media and listening to us tonight, like, you're not alone. So,
Friend Courtney, she's all over Instagram all the time. Yeah. So you'll still
<That's right. laughs> I know, that's how I met you guys, through Courtney on Instagram.
I'll tease her.
I'm like, did she tell you I call them her Insta friends?
Yeah.
She's always like, we're going to go to a new town. Can we meet my friends? I'm like, I guess so. Let's go ahead.
if you come to San Diego, you've got to visit me.
We're hanging out.
For sure.
All right.
Definitely.
So I have a current events question. I think we've all heard of the Kentucky woman. that went to jail for refusing the refusing to issue marriage licenses. Her name's what, Kim Davis, right? She's, first of all, I have a friend that's going to be here for Halloween. Like, she's going to be a Halloween hit.
I told you, Courtney, I should have done it. I wanted
Meanie,
to do it.
Meanie talked about that, and I go, oh, Lord, I do not think the world's ready. But yes,
she's like,
totally
too soon?
Happening.
I'm like, probably, yeah.
That's awesome.
No, mine's a male friend that loves get dressing in drag. So
even
classic.
Better. Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe you could send us a picture of that.
Please post that on Instagram. Okay.
I will post that one. But just curious how situations like that affect your situation there. You know, sometimes like you find that those situations can either really increase the support within the gay community and the straight allies. And it can also raise resistance. So I'm just curious how that's been for you in the South where you are. I don't know if maybe in Kentucky none of that impacts you, but if people are taking sides on that and just how that plays out down there.
You know, in Kentucky, we have a lot of people that live in Kentucky that drive down to work where I'm at. So they're always like, a few of them are like, you know, don't hate us all because of her. <I'm> like, no problem. I don't blame the whole state of Kentucky for Kim Davis. But I get kind of heated about Kim Davis, so I'll try not to, like, go off too much. But mainly just for the fact of situations like that have a tendency, and yes, it's social media, but to drive a lot of, like, bandwagon jumpers, as I call them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you did not care about gay marriage last week before, or whatever. But if you have a bully to stand behind on a topic, then all of a sudden you feel like you've just got the loudest voice that needs to be heard, and that makes me crazy.
Yeah.
So I feel like it did spark some of that. At the same time, though, it definitely showed me people that maybe I didn't know were such a supporter of, you know, gay marriage or gay rights as they were, because they were very vocal on it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we definitely saw both sides of it. But it definitely gave me the opportunity to kind of open some people's eyes. So, for example, a few of us at work, straight and gay, were just having a conversation like, you know, I can't decide to not do my job for any reason and still get to come here, you know, that kind of thing, you know.
Yep.
And this guy was like, yeah, you know, I mean, he really thought like he was on my side for what he was saying. But he was like, you know, those people that drove down there to get married, they knew that she wasn't going to do that. He's like, I'm from Kentucky. I mean, they could have went to any other county and got a marriage license. They didn't have to go there. And, like, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. And, of course, I'm like, actually, they lived in that county and paid taxes in that county. And I'd be damned if I had to drive somewhere else because somebody doesn't feel like doing their job that day. And he was like, oh, well, I didn't realize they were, you know, like, I'm sorry if I was kind of snappy. But I'm like, you know, be aware. Like, these are not people that are just driving around trying to stir up trouble. Like, they live there. They, like, you know, and you just turn it around, unfortunately, and be like, you know, could you imagine me telling you, like, no, just I'm not going to agree with that. So you just need to drive somewhere else. Like, you wouldn't stand for that. And so you can tell I get a little passionate about her. But, it definitely, though, like I said, both sides, we had supporters and everything. But he did come, her husband, I forget his name, did come to Nashville and have a bit of a rally. Some people were going to show up. Oh, yeah, he wanted to come and start a whole new process to try to overturn anything and try to basically take rights away from, you know, gays and lesbians and make the marriage whatever. But it was just a big waste of time. I don't think there was even that many people that attended it. There was more people on Facebook, you know, wondering if he was, and I'm not being funny, these are literally comments, wondering if he'd wear his good overalls to the meeting with, we see both sides of it. I'll just stop there before I get heated about Kim Davis.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, I think Nashville too, like, especially this city is pretty liberal, so not many people are going to go support somebody like that, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I've come to the end of my questions. Is there anything else you two want to say before we wrap up the show?
No, I mean, just thank you so much for your podcast. Like, you know, I was a fan of it before being on it, and I think it just helped so many families. And, you know, we just want people to know that in your conception journey or whatever it is, that, you know, just to have hope, and hopefully, you know, th- as these listeners will figure out how to find community and find mm-hmm. like-minded people, even if they're not gay. You know, like Mandy said, you know, find those couples that want to raise their kids with an open mind. You know, it's not going to always be that lesbian couple, but you can find people that are raising their kids, you know, to be open to all families. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for being on. Appreciate it. And thanks for all you do, right? Like the Top It Shoe cover, it's mm-hmm. awesome. Like you are reaching a huge demographic and covering topics that, you know, we don't know the information on. So we love to listen and hear that as well. So thanks.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And really, thanks for your tips today. I mean, I think it's really important. You know, community makes such an enormous difference. I mean, it's everything. It's, like you said, it's your family. It's your chosen family. And so, you know, what you shared, I think, is going to make a really big difference for people and how they can create a more supportive community in their lives. And, you know, when you're a two-mom family and you're going, I mean, even in big cities, you know, you got to worry about bullying or whatever might show up, you know, with your kids.
Yeah.
So, and I think that community is so important.
Totally.
So what you did is awesome. Thank you for sharing it with us. And I'm so excited to find out what happens on, have you found out about the third IUI yet? Are you waiting still in the 2 week wait?
Well, we could possibly know. So, you know.
Okay. Well, let's fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
But fingers crossed. So,
yay!
Everything's
awesome.
Looking good so far. So.
Yay! Congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks.
Right on.
I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, we don't know yet. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll just say it's happened. It's done.
Yeah.
You're pregnant. Can I put your Instagram names on the notes so that people can find you on Instagram?
Yeah, that'd
cool.
be great.
Go ahead and share them here verbally, and then I'll put them in the notes.
Okay, mine is Court12712, and Mandy's is Mandy, Mandy B, 2400.
Nice.
I will spell it out. So I can't handle with an I, so that's why.
Mandy with a Y.
Just want to make sure. You never know.
Awesome. I will put those in the notes. Ladies, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to have you on. You're adorable. Yeah. Your family is absolutely gorgeous. And I'm excited to see what happens following you on Instagram.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Have a great week.
Bye.
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 All right. How cute are they? I just love my favorite part of this, having a podcast, is that I just get to meet so many awesome people, and those are two more of them. So hopefully you got some ideas for yourself on creating community. I know I did. Well, let's see, that's it. So we'll catch you in 2 weeks, and I love you. Have an amazing 2 weeks in October, and catch you next time.